On the latest Widnes Rugby Chat podcast, we are joined by Vikings General Manager Tim Holmes and new Commercial Manager Dave Roll on the day that he returned to the club. Myself, James Gordon and Mike Parsons sat down with Tim and Dave at Brew Lane to talk about why they both came back to Widnes, what lies ahead, and much more in their first interviews in their new roles. Enjoy. Hello, we're here for a special edition of the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast. We're joined by Mike Parsons as usual, and Tim Holmes and Dave Roll. Comeback kids back at Widnes Vikings. I'm expecting Dennis Betts to come through the door any minute, but he's not here yet.
Yeah, well, many people have said that this week, haven't they?
How pleased are you both to be back at the club? I know it means a lot to you both.
Well, I can speak for myself, obviously. I'm absolutely delighted to be back. Been away for about 6 years now, but obviously been a keen observer of the club and actually got back involved in March this year, whereas went on the Foundation Trustee Board, and my interest just grew from there. And then when the club took the decision to appoint Tim as the general manager, that really like triggered the interest. Well, I genuinely knew he was a great appointment. And then we started talking and here we are.
I'm not just saying this actually to blow smoke up your backside, Rolty, but I think you're the sort of person the club should be built around, you know what I mean, like, off the field. Because as much as the commercial's always about selling, etc., it's hard to sell the league in some ways, unless you've got the passion for it and the knowledge. And that's something, you know, from my experience of working with you, that's you believe Widnes, don't you? And it's that passion and you telling the story and your involvement is what helps bring other people on board.
Yeah, undoubtedly, yes. I've always been of the opinion, and the many years that I've done the commercial at Widnes, is no matter whether you're in Super League or in Championship, the one thing that sells the club is passion. People, you've got to talk to like-minded people. You get to talk to people who are involved and feel that same passion as you feel for the club. And that's when you start seeing a sale. They start seeing value in becoming part of the journey. And hopefully, I think we ignite some of that passion and got the commercial base. I think it's done.
And before we get to you, Tim, we should mention on a commercial point of view that we're doing this in Brew Lane. For those, Tim's favourite coffee joint.
It's my,
a bit more about Brew Lane. For those who don't know, Tim.
It's my main meeting room now. And by the one and only Tom Gilmore. But yeah, it's so important that we are invested within our community, but more importantly, invested in our people. And so hence why we're doing this in here tonight, to kind of just grow some awareness of like the lives really of some of our players and what they're truly about to people.
This is fun for him. You suppose obviously have been away from the club for a while now and you're speaking about that and the passion for the community and engaging people. Do you feel that's something that's been lost over the last few years, looking from an outsider into the club?
If I'm honest, yes. Bear in mind, I've got two little ones, and I was shocked at how little of an engagement they had about knowing that there was a rugby club within the town. And we all know that football's taken off at the grade rate that it is. It was that passion that local people playing for our club is exactly what I'm about and is what I am striving for, and getting the town of Widnes to be proud of the club. You just heard Volti kind of talking about his passion for being back. That's exactly why we're falling back, because it's the passion to be proud of what we're representing. And so the people at weekends want to be involved in this journey that we're going on. So, yeah, I mean, like with any journey, it can always get better, can't it? Yeah. And we're not going to get it right straight away either. But it's about having that pride and passion and that ambition in what we want to do.
Like my own feelings on that role, too. Do you echo the same? What I suppose as somebody who's been away from the club for a while, what have you seen in terms of like coming back into the mix now? What your thoughts been looking at the club from afar?
Well, first and foremost, I would like to say that the board of directors who are in situ right now have done a great job in stabilizing. I mean, I was there when they first came in, and they've done a great job in steering the club to this point. From my personal perspective, it's, you know, where I've been like an outsider looking in. I've been frustrated, not by our club, by how the lack of respect that's shown to our club, you know, from all the media outlets and that, and the people not recognising. Because Widnes, we're not there to make runs up. Widnes is a great one, you know, it's got a proud history. It matters to the people of this town. We've seen it when the club went into administration in 2019. I genuinely had doubts that people still cared about the club, but how wrong was I? No, it's fabulous the response we got. And that's what it's important that we communicate that and we get people to buy into that. And
you've obviously been involved in development towards the stuff over the years, yeah, as well. You know, we're at Dilly's Place now.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things, sort of Harry Smith played for England that in the weekend as well, being a Widnes lad and all. How big of a challenge is that now as well to making sure that there's the next Tom Gilmore, the next Jack Owens are coming through? Because it feels like, from my point of view, there is going to be a hole in that sort of pipeline at some point.
Yeah. I'll say it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found fascinating when the club launched the Future Vikings programme, and I'll be dead straight, dead honest, I was looking and thinking, there's an awful lot of honest goodwill going into that, but, you know, is it, are we going to get any return out of it? You know, I was looking at probably a bit sceptical, because I only want the best for us. I had a conversation with somebody, and I'm quite au fait with how the academy systems work and that, and this person who we're talking to said, the way I've loved it there, said, a good academy system, any of the top clubs that are, you know, famed for having it, you're winning states, Warrington now, a producing player, if they're knocking out, you know, they're turning out one or two players, first team players a year, that would be deemed a successful project, you know, that would be deemed. Now, they're paying a lot of money to run them academies. Now, I think with the people who we've got access to at our club and the hotbed of the local amateur scene here, I genuinely feel we can develop a system that in given time and some support and some effort into it and some corporate backing, we can produce a system and create a system that's costing very little to the full, yet it's giving people a genuine opportunity. And through some expertise from people that we have within our network, we can match the numbers. We can produce one or two players a year. I genuinely believe that. And I think what we've got an opportunity of is creating something that other clubs can look at and say, let's follow that lead. Look all there. It's something that we can be proud of and we can hang our hat on.
With the wealth of experience you've got in and around the youth from years ago, how far off do you feel we are from getting that point of producing men players realistically?
Well, quite a number of years away, but not dramatically. You know, fair play to Alan Coleman. He's been, you know, he's been a big part of driving the Future Vikings and wanting to instigate. And we're, you know, I don't think I'm talking out of turn, but where the development board sits, it's about developing. Rather than working from the bottom up, it's about developing from the top down. So let's have a look at how we can make the best possible under-18 team we can and see if we can attract some players that we can develop and hopefully turn into really good, you know, Widnes Vikings players. And then start, but once we've got that somewhere in some kind of shape and working, then let's start working underneath that to start feeding that. But yeah, that'd be me.
Tim, I suppose it covers this part as well, the development of players is the part-time nature of it. So, you know, when you're at the pub full-time largely, you're there with the full-time squad and working there. Clearly being part-time, I'm not saying that that's not the dream necessarily for players, but ultimately it's just a natural thing that's going to happen that players are going to go to a full-time plus because they've got a pathway to being a full-time rugby league player. How, as a club, can Widnes, although being part-time, find their way into that sort of
I don't even know what you'd call it, almost that food chain, and make sure that you're there for them part time.
So that then you're creating players to stay with us long term.
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately, if you're, you know, if the next Tom Gilmore is 10 years old now, he's going to be looking at Warrington Saints.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you can't be a full-time rugby league player playing for Widnes at the moment. Now, that might change. And so naturally, that means that you're not necessarily going to get the better players. But what can you do to sell the club to people like that so that maybe, and I know Alan's mentioned it in interviews with people in the past where there's been players who've been in the Future Vikings programme and another club might have looked at him, but then hopefully because he's had a positive experience at Widnes, that if he does not make it as a full-time player, he wants to come back to Widnes to play part-time.
Yeah, I challenged everyone when I came in and with some four objectives of being part of our club. One of them is being creative. And that's it's effectively what Rolte's talking about there. In developing from 18s down, it's probably a slightly different way than other clubs are looking at it. What we need to do is look at ways that we can invest in these players and show how that we can help these players learn and grow as players so that we become that great option. Right now, as you said, it's probably realistically for those top flight players that we become a great second option. But the board have been quite clear in saying that we've got 6 year plan to gain back up into the height. I would say they're probably that far off in terms of being, you know, with our academy, but not only have applied for a full elite academy, it's 2027, I think it is. So what we have to now look at is how can we be creative? How can we create experiences at the club for these young players that they actually see a real investment in them? Likewise, then we become a great option of, you've seen what Widnes are doing, let's have a look. And naturally, as the full nature of the club grows and evolves over the following, the next 6 years, as too will the academy come with it. And it's part of everything coming in line together.
The players aren't back for another week or so for pre-season, so you've perhaps not felt it yet since you've come back to it. But how different do you feel it is going to be for you being in the part, you know, part, I know that your job's much wider than the players, but you know, you used to be in you were there all day, every day with all
yeah.
It's how different are you, do you feel you're going to see things?
Drastically, even kind of just being in and around the club, like by its nature, the club obviously operates very differently when it's a part-time to full-time. And so that's some of my learning as well. I'm going to have to learn to grasp kind of what to expect from a part-time club as opposed to a full-time club. Me and Killy often might kind of have those types of conversations, but when
you probably feel that you're still his full-time player welfare and
well
that much.
Yeah, cut it. So there is some of that, but what it's also given me is a real sense of awareness for these fellas are working all day every day to then turn up and not only just perform well, but perform in a high performance environment to then go out on a weekend. And so the kind of demands on them are probably above, I've said this quite a bit, probably above what are on a professional player, in the sense of a professional player juggles family and then coming into a rugby club. These lads are juggling family, rugby club and work. And more often than not, it's the rugby that then becomes the real issue because we're having to go out all night, every night or weekends. So there's so much more demands that come with it for me now that had that sense of awareness. So I think it's going to be juggling. How can we give Widnes a high performance feeling, but also looking after our players and making sure that they feel like they're not just being held like long ragged.
It's been a really busy couple of weeks for you, Tim. I mean, I wouldn't like to guess how many meetings you've been in, but they're laughing a joke over that. But you've been there a couple of weeks, month or so now, and obviously you can't tackle everything at once. What's them first weeks look like for you in the new job?
It's been getting to know people. It's been listening to a lot of people. I've had loads of meetings. I've had lots of different meetings with different sections of the community, of the club, to just listen to what people are saying, really, and what people are feeling, and then looking for those probably easy wins that show that, you know, I'm listening and I'm trying to push the needle forward. But like I say, some of my bigger plans, that's what's keeping me awake, because I'm that bloke who wants to do it tomorrow. And the reality is, you just can't.
there's probably a lot of few relationships that need mending before you can run at some of these bigger plans. And that takes time. Hence, one of the reasons for bringing Ulta back in, he knows the people of the town. He knows the vision of the club. He knows how to tell a good story and bring people on the journey. And so, and that's what we need. Good people in and around. We are on board with where we're wanting to go. Hence, like this tonight with you two big supporters of the club all the way through who are looking for the best for Widnes. Not the best for Widnes would be League Club, the best for Widnes Town. And that's what like we're about.
What made you come back now, Tim? I know you've got quite, you know, your family, you know, the way your family's been created has got quite a unique and really nice story relating to Widnes as a club. But what made you want to come back now?
I've probably been that supporter that I'm trying to attract back into the club, if I'm being completely honest. I'm that guy that's been sitting on the couch watching Super League, probably being concerned about the game and how it's moving forward and how it's being kind of marketed and having those concerns to then thinking my kids have got no connection to this unbelievable club. And it was, you know, the couple of times we drove past the stadium and the kids aren't even like excited to see it. And it was at that point, I think I could offer something. So this nagging feeling has been in me for a while. Then when I got the phone call about, are you interested? It was then actually like, well, actually this feels like this could be actually me. Like I've done every job within the club and not just within a rugby club. I've done it within that rugby club. So I've known from player to kit master to welfare officer to head of S&C and know some of the trials and tribulations involved in it. Actually, this could be where I can contribute and show out and benefit and hopefully drive the game as a whole forward as well.
Do you kids know your story with your good lady wife and how that all?
So Emmy likes to tell the daughter quite a bit, but the little lad's not one.
Has she seen the picture, the old picture with Steve O'Connor that you were both on for many years?
Not yet. So that comes at about a 16th birthday. That'll get introduced. But
no, just in case. We're not going to see her on the pitch cheerleading and stuff like that. None of that.
Oh, no. Well, Frankie might be doing a backflip, but she just won't be up for Emmy. Certainly won't. We're putting that there.
It's going to be. Yeah.
You mentioned about playing, and I always mention this whenever I have a conversation with Tim. So, talk to us about that tackle against Wigan.
I can remember it like it was yesterday, but I'm going to start talking and telling this, and then Mr. Lord's going to bring up a bomb that I dropped. Well, it didn't drop. That was a good stuff for me from Luke Robinson against Wigan. But yeah, the Huddersfield tackle was special. Probably one of my very few highlights. But yes, it was a special one. I did enjoy it.
And then Rolly's had a highlight on the pitch in recent years, haven't you? Dave, at Halifax away, you got the...
Well, it might be the wrong word.
Well, you're the full kit on. And you were on the video, I see. Were you stitched up?
Absolutely.
You were stitched up. You were mascot at the shed. I did worry, I seen him. I thought, oh, we've got a new signing here. Wasn't the case.
That's right. It was from the Bombay. We were there on the standard. Recently got married. And That was a sad day. So all my mates and Widnes had come over. Unbeknownst to me, and you know, some people, family from Halifax, Andrew Wise's family from Halifax were there. And we're all on this big table in hospitality, the share. And Pete Emmett was doing the olive cinema thing. Pete, I know Pete a little bit. And he come over talking. Next thing, just finished our dinner, he comes over with a bag and a seat in straight away. Didn't even see that coming. And my good friend Dominic Smith had been in a negotiation with Halifax to facilitate me being the Widnes mascot from that day. And if I took it on the chin because I'd actually done that to people here. And I know Widnes, and it isn't good math.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily the person who's sitting there, but for the people who are with him. But they got me He took me away and I had to go and get a full kit, clatty and getting a full kit. So I said, that better fit. Luckily it did, to the point where when I come in the full kit, the lads were gutted because they thought I looked exciting. But I didn't look bad in it. I didn't look bad in it. And then he got me up on the stage and interviewed me. I was looking forward and saying, I can't wait to get out of here. It's funny to say it's out in fans. We had a great laugh and then we went down and that's it. I led the same out. So it was just a bit of fun. And, you know,
have you got a billion hours?
No. Not yet. But it was all in just a little bit of fun. And I said, Zanny, it's okay. And we had a really great day. And it was nice to see all the lads there. And we got a good win that day.
Yeah. And so where, you know, you both knew and you both knew back to the club. You mentioned the board already. How much of the challenge is going to be, you mentioned about the club being part-time as well, is getting all these ideas and plans that you've got, but then aligning with what the board, what their objectives are. How do you feel like that's going to come together?
Yeah, I think not one of my biggest challenges, but that's something that's new to me. It kind of all the roles that I've had, particularly in recent years, I've been able to just implement straight away. The fact of the matter is, as Walter said, this board have been great at stabilising the club in recent years. And it's about building on their vision, building into their 6-year plan. I think we're 1 year into it, that's what they say. We've got 5 years left. So it's building into that. And hoping I can, as I can with the witness people really and the supporters, show them the story of where I want to take them and get them to believe in that story. We got a great hotbed of talent. We've also got a great hotbed of supporters. I was at the women's final a couple of weeks ago to hear people in the stands complaining about the women's fans making too much noises. The great day, Mike was there banging his drum as well. But it's an illustration of the supporters and the type of people that we have within the town. So it's tapping into that and trying to build this picture of where I can see it coming without kind of doing the whole thing that we all hate, which is, well, when I was here, this is how we used to do it. The reality is no one's found that magic bullet yet. And so there will be a lot of trial and error as there will within the relationship within the board, but that's only going to make me better and ultimately make the club better as well.
You speak about the support. One area over the last couple of years, especially, is, you know, really concerns me, if I'm honest, is the average age of a crowd, you know, compared to when I was young. I used to see a lot of kids at the games, and I look around now and, you know, I am probably in the lower end of the, you know, the crowd, and I'm 28. Is that a concern? Is that a concern?
Is it
things in place to encourage kids to come back and watch in witness jerseys rather than going to St.
Yeah, I think it's
Warrington.
It's a concern in general that our fans are to 15,000 people every week. Let's put it like, we all want the fan base to grow. We all know the challenges that not having people come through the door brings. I am completely with you in the sense of the kids coming in. I think the kids, though, will come in as a byproduct of attracting the people our age. You made reference about you being the lowest. I think our target, and I've been quite open, is people of kind of my age and a few years younger, that are the people of the recent Super League era that used to come that have dropped off. I get concerned. I had a conversation at the weekend with a fan who, you said that he only comes to a couple of games now, and when he does come, he only comes because he feels it's an obligation to support the local club. He's not coming because he wants to come and have a good time. But they're those people that I want to get back excited and back engaged in the club.
Well, I guess the other thing, sorry, Matt, the other thing about that, targeting people our age, I suppose, is that ultimately, it's us who bring the kids along with the first and foremost. And I think sometimes people get lost in that, is that we've had a few chats about this before, where you talk about TikTok and all these things, and it's like, well, that's all well and good, someone who's 12 or 13 seeing something on TikTok. Ultimately, it's the parents who are going to have to bring them to the game in the first instance. The parents are going to have to pay. You know, my dad took me to the games when I was a kid, as I'm sure, you know, he was, and that's how you get into it. And I suppose the less people who are doing that is why it's, you know, like I say, if you'd have brought your two kids to the game I gave them over the last X number of years, their relationship may be a little different than it is now.
That's it. And there are challenges to work out, because, you know, I you know, my lad comes into the club all the time and he loves coming into the club and sitting in the office. But ultimately, I sometimes have to get work done. And so what gets brought out? The iPad. The reality of the matter is, and it's honest, if I'm thinking of taking my lad to a rugby game, all I'm thinking about is I'm going to have to entertain him and he's not going to have to watch the rugby. Along what you're saying, it's RAs that are bringing the kids in, but it's actually the entertainment there then to keep people there and engage. And that's our challenge. How can we keep the different demographic of our supporter base interested? I think long gone are the days of just relying on people that love turning up to watch rugby league. We've got to then offer an experience and a day out more than just rugby.
Bill, it's all right. We are on the eve of pre-season. In turn, for both of you guys, on and off the field, what would success be for you for next season?
Take that.
You go.
What will be success? Success, what, at the end of the year, did you say?
Yeah, the end of next season. What would be the success?
Rolling a million pounds of sponsorship. That's a weapon. Well, to certainly see that the supporter base, the age range has kind of gone lower. To see more kids playing before games, involved in match day. To see the stadium full to its capacity. And when I say that, I do mean that in the sense of, I don't mean filling the stands by the end of the year. What I mean is the allocations that we're getting at the minute, where we all see these netted, I've talked to you several times. Success for me is that Northwest border opening up. How do we get there? Well, we only get there by getting over the magic number in the North Stand to get that opened up. Do you know what I mean? So seeing a Northwest corner opening up and fans back in there is one big win. And just having people feeling back connected with the club, it is ultimately the biggest win.
How much, you mentioned rugby league, the state of rugby league. We don't even know, we don't officially know who we're playing yet next season. How much is the state of rugby league and impact on what you do? You can't control it to a point. Witness has still got to exist regardless of what's happened with the RFL and the structure. But how difficult is that to match?
Difficult because you know the frustrations and you feel the frustration. So all the frustrations of the fans and the complaints, I'm probably feeling myself. And so a lot of the time, you're really deeply empathising with the person that's moaning and the fan base that are moaning about them. But at the same time, you're also having to deal with the regulations and the politics that go on behind that decision as well. So sometimes you can feel like, I have to give out this kind of endorsement, but I really feel, I know that how you're feeling right now, and that's the frustrating part. The juggling act and the not knowing, because ultimately it's uncertainty, isn't it, that unrocks people the most. And like I say, we don't even know who will win. We don't know fixtures. We don't know a start date. All of these things create more uncertainty, which makes the problem feel less strong. And therefore, the supporters less willing to jump in and support. So,
I mean, I always use the example of football, football pyramid's great. In whatever division you're in, you know that in theory, you can dream that it might get there. Clearly, over the last few years, we've lost that with Super League. I use the example of the air witness at the top of the lead after four or five games, and people start asking you, oh, are witness going to go up this year? And then you have to tell them, oh, no, actually, it's based on ING, and it sort of kills the mood straight away. Yeah. Rolly, is opening up that door and being able to be promoted to Super League on the pitch, do you feel like that's critical to sort of the commercial success, not just the witness, but of all the games in the championship?
Yeah, for the game in general, though, so egregious. And I've seen it firsthand, you know, a few times I've had conversations with people that aren't involved, you know, in rugby league, like they haven't got the connections and knowledge of the game that I've got myself. But they know that I absolutely want to pick my brains. And when you're trying to explain, so say, well, if witness win the league, are they automatically in Super League? Which is, so when non-rugby league person, so you said, well, no, the advocate. It's you try and explain that to somebody that it's completely alien. So, you know, because they just used it. And I suppose it's a British safety, but it is what drives. British football, I think, is the best football in the world because at the excitement of it. And promotion and relegation is part of that excitement. You know, it's something that's rugby. It drives football. 100% drives football. And we should look at that, the fact that it should be driving us as well. I think it's essential for the well-being of the game.
Are you frustrated? I mean, frustrated is probably the wrong word. I've seen clubs being through a lot over the last decade, I guess you could say. Is it frustrating that Widnes as a club, when Super League are looking to go into 14 teams and they have gone to 14 teams, is it frustrating that in reality Widnes are nowhere near getting into that top 15? Widnes should really be the team banging on the door to be in, really, based on what I got. Do you feel like that's a frustrating thing? It's frustrating that you're not, that, yeah, you weren't in Super League, but the club wasn't necessarily immediately there knocking on the door to be the next one in.
Yeah, that is undoubtedly frustrating, but being frustrated isn't going to change that. What is going to change that is getting behind the foot and everybody that's involved in the foot opening their minds up and working really hard to try to change that. So when the opportunity comes around next, we're not the team that's behind Barrow or behind Featherstone or wherever. You know, we're the team that's leading that charge. You know, I certainly think we've got the opportunity to become that team, but everybody's looking to how they, let's look at what we're winning, so doing this, looking at where we're winning, so doing that, and telling the world that we're doing it. Suppose I think that's one thing we've been guilty of. You know, hiding under a bushel of some of the things that we do, but you know, and promoting our club. Well, that's basically how a lot of the, well, certainly a couple of the teams are not promoted this year. You know, they were really good at that.
Well, Oldham are a good example. Oldham have been had money for a year or two, but they banged the draw and the media output scored. And they were in the top four in the league, so automatically people are looking at them. And it's mad that, we've said it on the fact, because they've spent 15 in the last 20 years in the third division.
Yeah.
And yet, when people talk about Super League, they were in the conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose.
I don't know if they saw that. I suppose it's the case, isn't it? When this can be a regular feature in the top three in the Championship, and we're, like you referred to, Tim, opening the northwest corner, and we're getting the most crowds in, and we're building that momentum. I don't think there'll be many sides in Super League turning the nose of what Widnes potentially being in it in the future.
No, and it's everything that kind of you said there. It's putting ourselves in the picture. Well, how do we put ourselves in the picture? We put ourselves there by people wanting to be a part of the club and wanting to be involved in it. You said there about, is it not frustrating? It's frustrating because it's our hometown club. We want the best for our hometown club. So, yeah, we automatically think, well, we should be there. The fact of the matter is, whatever has gone on in the past has gone on and has meant the club is where the club is. But we know the potential, and the frustration comes, I think, because we know the potential. We're not all sat here kind of going, yeah, well, we have no chance, but we're never going to have any chance. For me, I'm glad. People are frustrated because that frustration means people care. That means I've just got to find that hope to make me care to come every week to the game. If you're sat there not having an opinion on it, well, then I think I'm out of flogging a dead horse. So in that sense, I think it's really positive and exciting. But this is what I mean about relationships. It takes time. You've got to persuade people to come.
Don't want to put too much pressure on Rolls here, but a lot of people talk about,
loves it.
A lot of people talk about, oh, this club's got a money man, this club's got a money man, etc., etc. I'm personally, of course, having a money man's great, but I'm personally of the belief that if you can find a way to make it work without relying on one man's money. But of course, to do that, you need people in the club, and you need to sell more tickets, sell more sponsorship, hold more revenue streams. Do you feel like that's something that the club, even without that, because that's the thing that gets thrown around quite a bit, oh, we're never going to get anywhere until the money man comes in. But do you feel like with the size got the opportunity to generate them enough money and enough finance to be able to do that without needing an investor to come?
I think we've got to put our best foot forward in that respect, James. And if, you know, a lot of people think that's the golden ticket, you know, recent announcements or speculation about Peter Volandis, the NRL guy, I perceive that his view very, very different to that, and it should be about central funding. Well, that's what will drive the biggest CB deals, and you know, so I think that'll be interesting to see that unfold. But if it is the case that one thing you can guarantee, any potential investors out there, and there will be people out there that I'll be looking to invest because that's the way the world is, isn't it, these days? But they'll only want to invest in someone that's riding and someone that's going forward and someone that is a bit unique and someone that you can see that their investment can make a difference and can help this organisation get to its next level. But I think we've got to put our best foot forward in every single strand of the vote. And that is the only way we're going to put ourselves in a position where if somebody's looking to invest, we're talking shopping list. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Just as you've got me, it's the commercial side there, obviously. It's been a good few years now since you've been involved in that side. Going back, where are we in terms of relationship from people who was involved last time? Have we lost a lot of people along the way, or are we not far up?
Well, it's too early. It's too early to, you know, to be able to give you any information on that. I'm starting today. But I'm a great believer in the first thing, my first job I've ever done is look at what we've already got and make sure then them relationships that we've already got are the best they possibly can be and that the partners that we have feel valued and also an opportunity whereby we can over-deliver where possible, you know, to them partners. Because then can you start looking outside of that circle and that's where we can start to grow. And it's all about relationships, 100%, even more so now than ever has been, because I know we got no TV, you know, that was a big help when in Super League. Different organisations, bigger businesses, they see a value in TV where they might not, but you can actually do a good sponsorship deal with them because you can take the maths in budget boxes, etc. And that's great, but we've got no TV. That's just the way it is. That might change, hopefully, going forward, hopefully. But at this moment, we haven't. So we've got to be the best we can possibly be with that consideration. And that, obviously, that turns into more, you've got to maximise your local network then. We've got to work really hard to build them relationships local and then come off the back of them. One of the lessons I learned in my journey and in the commercial world is if you bring a sponsor to the table, and look after them, or do your damn best to grow that relationship. And you know, you're courteous, nice, and courteous to people. And you, if something goes wrong, you put your hands up, mess, and you know, accept that, and build a way to move forward, and try to give them love value. If you can achieve that in a commercial relationship, on average. The figures that I generated in my time here was that you could grow that relationship between 50-60% over the course of a couple of years. I mean, it's very difficult. There's different types of commercial relationships. Some that they have like a lifespan because, you know, they're not really into the book people. They see a little bit, get very excited and that, but they'll get fed up after a few years. And that's fine. That's the way the world is, isn't it? But it's you've got to constantly keep growing that. And I remember Shane Richardson listening to a speech he gave, a presentation he gave at Super League when the World Cup Challenge was on. Shane Richardson was at the time the CEO of the Rabbitohs, and they had the Rabbitohs, the Illawarra, and the Broncos CEO, three CEOs, presenting to all the Super League chairman and the commercial lads and thing. And his was brilliant. The same as him, brilliant. And what he nailed it, he said, where people go wrong when they're trying to grow things. And he was referring to the Rabbitohs, the membership scheme and that. He said, they're constantly chasing the rolling out of top number. He said, and that's how what happened. He said, what you've got to do is stop people dropping, helping you. He said, look after what you've already got. He said, and the best you can get at reducing renewals down here, he said, that's when you get through no up. And he said, and that wise right across the commercial road. I've always remembered that. He was a brilliant, he was a very engaged director. And, you know, fact that I remember him such a constant. So probably about 8 or 9 years ago. But he was right. He nailed it and it sort of stuck in my head. So I think that's like the value of, that's one of like the cheap principles of the commercial world is got to make sure you start looking after what you've already got and looking at them then, minimise the churn, as they call it. And grow and look after himself and so on.
There's rumours going around about the start of the season, January 18th. I've seen him pulling around, which is only just over 2 months away.
See him getting excited here. Yeah. See him getting excited.
What? About the season being around the corner?
Yeah.
No, we won't pull on that, Fred. So January 18th potentially is the start date, not confirmed yet. But that only gets you just over 2 months to get through that. What, you know, you talk about your 6-year plan, but ultimately, looking at the very short term, these 2 months before the start of the season, what do you need to work on? What are you hoping to achieve before you get to that season kickoff day?
Well, we've had a chat internally, haven't we, about making our first game, and I'll say it publicly that our first game needs to be our biggest game. That is our kind of northern star of the minute. But getting that stadium feeling unbelievable for that first day. Not to get there and go, we've done it. To get there and go, right, how can we improve what we've done and keep this thing going? Well, that is our North Star, that first game. We've said before about frustrations, as we don't, like, there's rumours about with the start date, we don't know. That's the truth. So there's a little bit of frustration in there, but ultimately we know that's what we're chasing, so we can start our plans today. That's what we're after, looking at everything involved in match day, but also everything that goes into the build-up to match day and working backwards. Somebody mentioned at the last Vikings voice event about kids' tickets within schools, giving them out, and why the take-up wasn't great. When we actually did the maths on the take-up was 20%, which actually is not bad. When you then carry that into the fact that the tickets were just delivered to school and told to be handed out, you can then start to see, well, there's an instant win straight away by, you know, making the kids understand what that ticket is for starters and where that ticket gets them into and the types of things that they can expect when they use that ticket. Sean Mellor's working out already, and he championed it and said, well, let's just go and shout it from the rooftops. The first game's going to be our biggest game. Those wins, how can we engage those blokes that are probably going to be offered a ticket and aren't sure whether to come? How can we be that thing that says, go on, just come and give it a crack and give it a go and see what they like? That's what we're looking at. Now, you've noticed I've not gone performance-wise. That's because Alan's got his team, and Alan is, you know, I haven't, as we've said, I haven't seen the team in at the club yet. I haven't been around the lads as a group. So I don't want to step on toes or anything. Alan has got his plan and he's going to deliver that. What we need to be is everything else, the best we can be in every other department.
How much are you expecting to be involved in that side? Obviously, when the club put the general manager role out, it's quite a wide range in. They had, I know Al's probably had to do a lot more over the last 12 months than he had to in previous years because of the lack of maybe staff in that area. How much are you expecting to be involved in player contracts, recruitment and stuff like that?
By the nature of it, as the role grows, I think I'm going to be heavily involved in that and deeply involved in that. I think that was one of the strong points for me getting back involved at the club, is because that actually is my home. The performance area is what I know, what I really love, is my kind of hobby, for want of a better expression. And so by in its nature, I'm going to be in and about. I don't believe you can do the role I'm in and not have a connection to each and every like player within the club. That is including the wheelchair players, the LDSL players, the women's players, like every player. So by nature, I'm going to be more heavily involved. I just haven't had the opportunity just yet because of recruitment was obviously done before I got here. You know, the lads aren't back in training yet, so that it's been very minimal what I can get involved in. What I have said is that mine and Al's relationship's been great since I've been in, and he's been really helpful. Hopefully I've already offset some of the extra tasks that he's had and helped him along his way. But yeah, by the nature of the beast, I then be able to just grow into more pinnacle building.
You mentioned the women's side there briefly. They, of course, had great success this season, winning League One, expecting them to line up in the Championship next season, which will be a big boost to the club. How important is that side of things and flying the flag for the women's team and them being at as high a level as possible?
It's massive. Along the lines of what Dave was talking about with the future Vikings, what we want to show is that we can provide a pathway for any player within the town to be able to play at the top of their game. I have a big saying about being our best and not the best. it's about showing everybody that this is how you can maximize your potential. And the women have kind of really emphasized that this year in what they've done and to win the competition and step up now. They are that thing we said at the last point, Viking Moisture event. They are one of our things to get happy about and get excited about the book at this moment in time. So let's enjoy it and embrace it and go with it.
Was you surprised at all? I saw at the final of how engaged the fans was over the women's game and obviously the quality on field, but also as well, like making sure that their family, their children, their partners are also coming to the men's game and you know, getting behind the men, and it's not two separate.
Oh, yeah.
Entities, like there is room to bring the two teams together to grow the overall fan base.
There definitely is. What I will say, and no, you've been at a few games there, the atmosphere is very different though as well. And in some respects, the final in particular, it felt a little bit more family orientated a little bit, and I kind of quite like that. So there's bits and pieces we can pull inspiration-wise from that setting to introduce it in what Neil offered.
I'm thinking winning every week helps. I was just thinking,
of course, thinking. And of course it does. Like, and no one can hide away from that. But in my dream world, as you get filled with all the time, like, how good would it be if we're turning up and going, "Boss, but I've had a great day."
Yeah, and I'm only being facetious, really. Because ultimately, not everyone can win, you know, and all these clubs have got to exist. And that's why, like you say, the thing touched on about the community stuff and helping and supporting the players and the commercial. I mean, you know, I've said it on the podcast a few times. There's certain players who should play for Widnes for their whole career because they're our players, if you know what I mean. And yeah, okay, they might have holes in form, but you always need that foundation because that's the community that you're representing. I always use Adam Lawton as an example. Adam Lawton should have always played for Widnes, and I know he went elsewhere, but he's an absolute no-brainer for it to have someone like him in the Widnes team. And if one year his form drops, well, or that you recruit someone and you might perceive as better than him, he still stays as part of the squad. He's got to fight for his place back, but he's almost like the foundation that a club like Widnes can thrive on. Because ultimately, if you need a squad of 25 players, if you start from scratch every year, it's going to be a big job, isn't it? And if you know that you've got 10, 15 core players that you know, if you're given the opportunity to, they'd be here for, you know, you're then only focusing on adding 7, 8, 9, 10 players around them to produce the overall package.
I totally agree with you on that, James. And I think that's a model that we should be looking to adopt and to get some continuity in building that call of the first seed squad. And because I can personally tell you, Warren's a fan.
Yeah.
You know, when he was 16, he could have been anywhere. Mm. You know, I was there at Scotland and he could have got anywhere, and he chose to stay here. Well, some people might say, Cath is a great, but he did. Mm. He turned the Uffs down, steady, as did the owner of this coffee shop. Absolutely, he was the year after Thomas, I'll get to him. But he did. And I always remember, I'd watched him play all the times, and he was an unbelievable player in the 50s and the 60s, and a good sitting at his scene. And we took him, and Alice Brown was with Saints in a friendly. The year before we went up to Super League, we played Saints in a friendly at Olsen Road. When we had that Loomis, who's all about it, and we beat him. And Lawton was, he was like 15, so. I was doing the stats. Him and Alex Brown, it was, were sat behind us. And you could feel how excited he was. You know what I mean? When you're, as a fan, when we do something good or all, something happens today, then, whether it be good or bad, it you have a reaction in your body, don't you? And he felt this, and I thought, this is what they all missed that. You know, when his performance, I do. So he is a fan. You know, and he's had a journey, and I watched him at the back end last year. I was when we played Featherstone away, and I was delighted with his performance. Oh, great game, man! You know, he turned that out. You know, he's playing best in the middle that day. But he's an unbelievable player. People might say he's nearly as potential, but he's the sort of person, when you talk to Adam, it's us and we.
Yeah.
You know, same with Gilly and Jeff, it's us and we. When you meet old players, even from, you know, I remember, and it was a number of years ago, first time I met Malas, we, you know, played, God knows how many, I'm going to guess over 500 games. It's certainly correct me if you say it. But what I loved about it was it's the we. You know, in an era where there isn't much of that, you know, players are coming in from either and everything, you got these, and that's fine. But I love the fact that it was us and we, you know, we should be doing better than we. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I suppose, you know, if you were going to recruit 25 players from random places, with all due respect, you wouldn't have a player at witness, would you? You'd go and create a team in Liverpool, bring 25 players, pay them over the odds and play in Liverpool somewhere. Whereas the big sell for witness is that the story is, this is witness, this is what witness is famous for, that's why these lads want to play for witness. Yeah, you're recruiting, we've got plenty of them overseas players and other British players that are fitting around them, but having that witness identity is so important.
Yeah, so and it's the thing as well. There's no secret as well. Like, you know, the local lads, they do, when things are going wrong, they seem to get more criticism than most. But so then actually, when you look at the stats, when you look at the appearances, you look at the tries, it's the homegrown talent that usually shines. And, you know, what are the best players that we've got now? You know, you've got Jack Owens, Gilly, you know, Adam, like we've touched upon, you know, Dylan.
I was going to say
Joe Ed, you know, the list endless, and them players are the ones that pick up the awards, and that must come from, you know, they just have that extra for the batch, don't they?
Let's talk about Fozzard as another example. I know he came through St. Helens and stuff, but I've done a few interviews with him where him playing for witness means that bit more for him because he is a witness lad as well, and the journey he's been on in some ways, you know, when he perhaps something like Adam Law, and he went somewhere else for one reason or another, but he still felt later on in his career that he had that passion and drive to want to play for Widnes.
And you only have to say Elton Farms, we think.
Yeah.
Elton in the first, and I had only in the first season last year, and looking forward to seeing who'd been that machine, massive. No, you did not. Made all that.
Right then. Anything else that you want to divulge, Tim? Got any exclusives for us?
Other than this man being back in the building, which was tonight's news. No, I thanks very much for your time tonight. Enjoy it.
No, well, thanks, Tim. Thanks, Dave. And season tickets are on sale. Sponsorships are on sale. Absolutely. His number will be everywhere.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'd like to thank you for flying the flag for Widnes. Hopefully, this will be the first of many chats we have. So, to meet you, Mike, for the first time. James, obviously, met in previous lives and always been a big admirer of his. For me, do worth long vacancy.
I'd also like to point to you guys as well. I think the one thing I've picked up from, you know, this interview, so to speak, and spending time with you, so it is your club, and you can tell back and how you speak and what is it trying to deliver. So I'm really excited to see what's to come next year.
So thanks everyone for listening and for joining us. Maltese already got his order in some more free coffees. I think that's why he wants to do more of these.
Yeah.
But thanks everyone. See you next time.